So a couple of months ago, our church opened its doors to Muslim refugees to live in our church facility. And I want to tell you the unexpected ending to that situation. Welcome, friends, to the Now is the Time podcast. I am Caleb Succo. This is episode 66, and today I am talking about Muslim refugees, and I'm talking about the church. It's a little bit of a different episode since I'm sort of going a little bit out of the general, I guess, topic of things that I usually focus on here on the Now is the Time podcast, but recently, this has really become an issue, and it is the issue of refugees. We've had experience with refugees here in Ukraine. We've had a lot of refugees come into Odessa from eastern Ukraine, and you might be surprised to know that some of those Muslims, or some of those refugees, are Muslims. So I have been seeing a lot of posts on Facebook about whether or not the United States should accept Syrian refugees. And I understand that this podcast and my position is not the position of many of you, of a number of my friends. But I hope that you will take a few minutes and listen to what I have to say here. Because if you don't agree with me, and I'll just say it straight, I think that the church, the Western church, the American church, should be the first one to say, please send refugees to us. And if you don't agree with that, I hope that you will stick around for a few minutes and hear me out. Because the posts that I've been seeing on Facebook, they kind of shocked me when I saw them at first. They kind of go something like this. Call your state representative, and then they give the number, and call him, tell him that you don't want refugees in your state. Let's flood the phone lines. And I hope that you haven't made a call like that. But if you have made a call like that, I hope and I pray that maybe this podcast episode will be just the thing to change your mind. And after listening to it, you might just make another call and say, you know what? Send those refugees my way. Why is it that people do not want refugees to come into their country? I think that there are a couple of lies or a few lies that are being propagated, that are being believed, and those lies lead to a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, and because of those lies, people say, don't send refugees here. What are those lies? First of all, the first lie I want to talk about, and by the way, I'm going to get to my story about how we accepted Muslim refugees into our church facility. But first, I want to talk to you about these lies that I think that many people have believed because they are common in the news media. And lie number one is that Syrian refugees are terrorists. So there's about 4.2 million Syrian refugees that have fled a really horrendous war. And are there some bad apples among those 4.2 million people? Yes, of course there are. Are there some criminals? Yes, of course there are. Find any 4.2 million people in America and tell me that there's not going to be some criminals there. Are there terrorists among those 4.2 million people? Probably. But The reality is that 99% of Syria, I would say 99.9% of Syrian refugees are not terrorists, and they will never commit a serious crime. I mean, these are just simply broken people who are looking for hope, who are looking to have their basic needs met, who are broken because they were forced out of the country that they grew up in, from their homes, and they have nothing. And I think that we forget about that when we believe this lie that, you know, these are all just, it's almost like you have this picture in your head that these Syrian refugees are coming across the sea in boats with life jackets filled with bombs underneath them or something. And, you know, I'm thankful to one of my friends on Facebook, Alan. He wrote this in response to, by the way, I forgot to mention this too, but this episode is really sort of a continuation of episode 62. If you haven't listened to episode 62, I highly recommend that you listen to it. I talk about 9 truths from the Bible about refugees, and it gives more of a biblical framework for understanding how God thinks about refugees and how we ought to think and how we ought to treat, how we ought to think about refugees and how we ought to treat refugees. So that's sukofamily.org/62 or episode 62 of the Now is the Time podcast. But my friend Alan on Facebook, he had a good reminder. He said, I don't think Syrian refugees should be our biggest concern. Our greater concern should be speaking out against abortion in the USA, helping moms with unplanned pregnancies to help them keep their child, to remove pornography from our families and church fellowships, to love our spouse and not have adulterous minds, to read and obey God's word, to be mindful of our children and be a sincere example of Christ, to share the gospel, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, I think that hits it right on. In fact, if you think about it, maybe American Christians should be more concerned about the something like 3,500 murders of innocent unborn children that happen today than the possibility that amongst several thousand Syrian refugees, there might possibly be 1 or 2 terrorists who could possibly in the future commit some terrorist act, and then again he might not. I mean, let's put this in perspective. And let's not forget that America has some very well-educated terrorists who have been legally terrorizing and murdering millions of unborn children for over 40 years. When you look at that in comparison, the risk and the scope of damage and loss of life is not even comparable. But it's not by far shot. These Syrian refugees are not all terrorists either way. Lie number 2, and I've read this several times on Facebook, I think maybe on Twitter too. 70% of all Syrian refugees are men of military age. Yes, they're just sending their men across the borders. They're going to start their own army in our country. They're going to fight against the U.S. military. I don't even understand the logic of this argument. But the fact is, that's a lie. 70% of Syrian refugees are not men of military age. And there's 2 things that I go to. First of all, recently I was at a conference where a number of people spoke who worked directly with Syrian refugees in Greece, in Jordan, and in the Balkans. And their response was, they pleaded with us, said, don't believe the media. It's not true. We actually see lots of women and children. And so that's, you know, eyewitness account. Of course, that could be skewed a little bit. You never know. And so I looked the data up myself. And, you know, there's some pretty good figures out here that if you just look a little bit, that you can find, you know. And There are, I guess, around a little over 4 million, 4.2 million Syrian refugees that have fled the war zone. Of those 4.2 million, here's the breakdown. 52% of those refugees are children. 52%. That is a lot of children. 25% are women, 18 years and older. 1% are men, 60 years and older. Just over 1%. So that's, they're not military age. So military age men, that would be men 18 to 59. You want to know how much? 22%. Not 70, not 60, not 50, not 40, not 30, 22%. So don't just buy into that lie either. And then the third lie is that refugees are bad for our country. There seems to be, I guess, a false perception that, you know, these are uneducated, ungrateful, unwilling to work people that are just coming here to get a free ride. And I don't think this is the truth. In fact, again, the people that I've talked to that work directly with these refugees, their testimony is that they are well educated. Many of them speak fluent English. They are very grateful. In fact, one of the guys with tears in his eyes. I mean, actually, I listened to presentations from I think four different people who work with refugees. Literally, they serve tens of thousands of refugees, and not a single one of them could get through those presentations without choking back the tears. But one of the guys said, "I've never seen a more grateful people. If you give a child a piece of candy, he won't take it from you unless he can find something to give you in return." So these are well-educated, hardworking, grateful people. And, you know, it just seems to me the height of hypocrisy when we are not willing to open our doors to these types of refugees. And yet at the same time, we know that our country was built by refugees. America was founded by the pilgrims. They were fleeing religious persecution. And thankfully, when they came to the New World, there were people who didn't say, "Oh, our doors are closed. You can't come here. We're not going to help you." There were people who were far different from them in their culture, in their language, in their beliefs. And yet, those Native Americans were willing, not all of them, but there were some that were willing to help them, to care for them, to show them how to survive. And in fact, that's what we're getting ready to celebrate next week. What in the USA? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the celebration of refugees. Of refugees who were cared for by those native to that country. So let's not forget where we came from. And by the way, there's a number of scriptures where God tells the same thing to Israel. Exodus chapter 22, Deuteronomy chapter 10. It talks about in Leviticus as well, where he says, "You were once strangers in the land, so don't forget the strangers and the foreigners in your land. Take care of them. Watch out for them. Help them." All right, so those are the three lies. They are: Syrian refugees are terrorists. No, they're not all terrorists. 70% of Syrian refugees are men of military age. No, only 22%. Refugees are bad for our country. No, I don't really think so. Generally, they're hardworking, well-educated, very grateful people. So, back to my story. Here's what happened. About 18 months ago, when the war was just getting started here in Ukraine, a lot of refugees started showing up in Odessa. They had left their homes in eastern Ukraine in a hurry. They didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't have hardly anything with them except what they could hold in their hands. And our church decided to open the doors, our doors to them. We didn't ask, "What religion are you?" We didn't demand that they were Christian. We opened our doors, and we simply felt that that was, you know, a great opportunity that God had given us to show the love of Christ to those outside the church. And we could not pass it up. We should not pass it up. And it turned out that one of the families was a Muslim family. So, was it a risk to let a Muslim family live in our church building? Maybe. But probably not any greater risk than having any other family live in our church building. Was it worth it to let a Muslim family live in our church building? Certainly. In fact, this family ended up living in our church building, I don't remember exactly, but I think around 6 months. And then I remember very clearly late one night, we were having our church leaders meeting, which usually go late into the night. So it was, I don't know, it was like 10:30, 11 p.m. There was a knock on the door, and here was this family. They were bringing us a cake. They said they'd found an apartment. They were moving out. And they wanted to show their appreciation and their gratefulness for our hospitality. And here's what this woman said, this Muslim woman. She said, "I'm a Muslim, but I've never seen such love and kindness before." And then she told us, "We're going to be moving out of the church building, but even though we're moving out, we don't want to leave the church." You know, and at that moment, I was really just kind of blown away with when I realized, you know, the power of showing Christ's love through true hospitality. True hospitality, friends, is going out of your way to care for a stranger. It's not about entertaining your friends at a fun dinner party. It is about going out of your way to take care of a person who is not like you, who you may not know from the man on the moon, and care for their basic needs. Yeah. As a church, we could have played it safe. We could have kept our doors shut. But that's not a very effective way to reach the unbelieving world for Christ, is it? So here's my point, and here's what I want to say to the church in America, in the West today, and especially to those who are complaining about the Syrian refugees and saying we don't want them here, keep them out. I mean, here's the real kind of pain in my heart is that many Christians are turning down an unprecedented historic opportunity to share the love of Christ with the Muslim world. Friends, I'm convinced that this mass migration of mainly Muslim people is something that God is doing. Because think about it, how many Western Christians are ready right now to go to Syria to share the gospel? How many are ready and willing to do that? Or even if they are ready and willing, how many actually can do that? I don't know any. Maybe you do. Maybe one. I'd be surprised if you know two. I'd be surprised if you know one. But here's the thing. God is bringing these people to us, those people to whom we could not go, or with great difficulty we could go. He's bringing them to us. He's bringing them to us broken, with nothing, hungry physically and hungry spiritually. And if we say no at this point, keep them away from me, friends, we are turning down a historical opportunity to bring the gospel to a Muslim people. And so my question is, will the Western church reject these people because she is so comfortable living in her gated communities, because she's so caught up in the own vanity of her looks and her image and her building and her worship services and her padded pews, or because she's so caught up with the fear of the politicians are propagating the fear of man? My prayer, friends, my prayer is that the church will be the first one to say, "We welcome these poor and needy souls. We will serve them. We will provide for their needs because we too once were foreigners and aliens, and we will give them hope. Let's not forget what Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were in some way in that same position that those Syrian refugees are today, without hope and without Christ, alienated strangers. Let's open our doors to them and let's give them the hope that they need in Christ. Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Now is the Time. Please, if you can go over to iTunes, if you want to leave a review or just to give it a rating, that's a great help. Helps us, helps this podcast to get out in front of a lot of other people. Also, another thing, if you could, for me, just go to our website, succofamily.org. There's a couple things you can do there. If you're not signed up to get our email, you can do that right on the right side. If you want, if you're interested in supporting our family and the work we do here in Ukraine, working with theological education, working to help strengthen and plant churches, working with Ukrainian refugees, you can support us. There's a support tab there. And just go to that page and all the information is there for you. All right, friends, until next time, please keep your doors open to those poor and needy souls, to those refugees. Preach the gospel, and may you be blessed.